Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi, as we do every single day. Lili Nishmas Abi Moria Rav Hillel ben Meir Yechiel Michal Ha'areini Kaparas Mishkavo, and of course in memory of the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha, we are in Malachim Aleph. And today we're going to study Perek Chaf Aleph. Achav came back from the war. He was shaking by the Navi's words that by freeing Ben Hadad, it's going to cost him his life. But once home, he saw the land was at peace. He started to deal with his own personal matters, namely his house in Yisrael. So next to this house, there was a kerem, and there was a vineyard that Achav wanted for a garden. Had it been in the Shomron, which was the capital, Achav would have just taken it. It was for the benefit of the Malchus. But since it was in Emek Yisrael, next to a private home, he didn't have that status as the Malbim. And not only that, Achav wanted this land for his own use, so to uproot the vineyard, which is a fruit-bearing area, just for himself to plant a garden, and he wanted to place an Avodah Zarah there, according to Tosus and Sanhedrin, there was an issue. Now, Nabos HaYisraeli, who was Achav's cousin, owned the land. And Achav approaches Nabos and offers to find him an even better vineyard instead of this one, or he would pay him for it. But Nabos didn't want to give it to him because it was the Nachal of his family, and because of the Avodah Zarah that Achav was going to try to erect there. And so he swore to Achav in the name of Hashem, he's never giving up his father's Nachla, which of course really sort of broke up Achav at that point in time. Achav had a little bit of a sense of Musar, first of all, for leaving the true Nachla, Nachlas Hashem, and also from the fact that he had been rebuffed. And so he goes home upset, he lays down in bed, and he turns his face to the wall. He doesn't want to see anybody, says the Ralbag. He stops eating, and he was in this emotional turmoil, not just because of the field, but because of the Musar that came along with the field. And so Achav's bad mood weighed so heavily upon him, he didn't have the strength to be able to eat. What a fascinating idea from a mental health perspective, that this was almost like a depression. So Yizevel turns to Achav, and she says, "Why aren't you eating?" And Achav told her what had happened, and he made it seem as if the field was what was bothering him, when really it wasn't the field, it was the Musar he got from Nabos, and he didn't want Yizevel to know that he still felt connected to the Mesorah, given the fact that Yizevel herself was such a break from the Mesorah. So Yizevel tells Achav, lying down and accepting this, that's not what kings do. Kings get up, and they find a way to get what he wants done. And so she told him, "Don't worry, eat and drink and be happy, I'll take care of it." So Yizevel wrote and signed a letter in Achav's name, sending it to the Zekanim and the officers of Yisrael where Nabos lived, and they proclaimed a fast day for the city, in which the Zekanim would look at the ways of the people, which is what people do on fast days, and they were to sit Nabos at the head. And the letter went on to order that two people who were Edom Zomim, would come, and they would testify that Nabos had cursed Hashem and the king, after which Nabos was going to be executed by Skila. So Yizevel knew that the Ziknei Ha'ir, the city's elders, were Rishayim, just like the Edim, the Edei Sheker, and they wouldn't question the order, they would do what they were told. And so the false witnesses were instructed to testify that Nabos had cursed both Hashem and the king, so no one suspect Achav of executing Nabos for his own personal gain, says Rashi in Sanhedrin. Also, the two reasons evoked the anger of everyone there. Some people wanted to kill Nabos right away for cursing Hashem, others wanted to do so for being married by Malchus. Nobody would go ahead and investigate the matter, because that's what happens when people get all worked up. They tend to do things and act. Take a look at modern times. That seems to be where we're holding also, that people don't bother to look today. So Yizevel had to resort to lies and deceit, because the people would never have let her openly commit such an act. They didn't have the power to stop her Avodah Zarah, but they certainly would have stopped her for killing Nabos for no reason. And so what happened was, the order was carried out, and word was sent to Yizevel that Nabos was killed, and Yizevel told Achav, go ahead and inherit the land, and Nabos was not alive, so Achav took possession of the land. Wow, so Hashem tells Eliyahu, go to Achav, and he's in the vineyard of Nabos, and tell him, Koam Ar Hashem, this is what Hashem says, Haratzachta Begam Yarashta, you're going to be an enemy, and then you're going to inherit, like you're a relative. Hashem says, that's in a place where the dogs lick the blood of Nabos, they're going to lick your blood as well, meaning just as Achav, as Nabos didn't die honestly in a natural way, but was killed by others, that's what's going to happen to you. So Achav turns to Eliyahu and he says, look, has my enemy found me guilty, thinking he could trick the Navi by claiming that this is the work of Yizevel, that he didn't know anything about it? And Eliyahu says, yeah, because you sold yourself to the angering of Hashem. You tried to change the ways of Am Yisrael to a bad way. And Elio continued that Achav and his household would be wiped out from this world and from the next world. And this would take place in front of the entire nation, so everyone could learn from it. And his household would be wiped out, just like Yerubim, just like Basha, because he got Hashem angry. And then Elio turns to Ezevel and he says, Ezevel, you should just know the dogs are going to eat you in the valley of in Emek Yisrael, right there. Right? And the corpses of the house of Achav in the city will be eaten by the dogs, and the corpses in the fields, they're going to get eaten by the birds. And so Achav hears these words, and he tears his clothing, and he put on a sackcloth, and he fasted. He's walking around without shoes, says Rashi. He sleeps at night in a sackcloth. He walks around his house all worried with anxiety. How could he correct that which he had done? And so Hashem says to Elio, do you see how Achav has humbled himself? And so therefore, the evil that happened in his will come upon his household won't come along in his lifetime, but rather in the lifetime of his son. However, the fact that the dogs would lick the Achav's blood, that could happen only to him, and we're going to see that indeed this is going to be the case. Okay, we'll stop here, and Bezus Hashem, tomorrow we will continue with the next parak and see what happens in the future and see how things wind up happening. Everyone have a wonderful day and a fantastic Shabbat.